Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipmates, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at Facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
One and a half percent in terms of growth rate. And that's what's the problem. We've gone back to fundamentals, and that's what the market is reacting to. The Federal Reserve statement is done. Now we're back to looking at what really matters, and that's the future in the U.S. economy.
Republican Congressman Peter King, who chairs the House Homeland Security Committee, is calling for an investigation into reports the Obama administration is giving Hollywood movie makers access to secret information about the Osama bin Laden raid. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney says it's not true.
We do not discuss classified information. And I would hope that as we face a continued threat from terrorism, the House Committee on Homeland Security would have more important topics to discuss than a movie.
British Prime Minister David Cameron is holding an emergency session of Parliament to talk about the UK riots. It was mostly calm overnight after four nights of violence and looting. Tiger Woods is hoping he can find some magic at the PGA Championship that starts in Atlanta today. He was asked what he's looking for.
A W? Want me to elaborate? A nice W.
Tiger hasn't won a major since the 2008 U.S. Open. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Who has the best back-to-school event in the business?
Does.
Office Depot announces even lower prices on 75 top back-to-school items, plus weekly specials you won't believe. One-inch binder, just 50 cents. Three-pack paper make erasers, just 50 cents. Pourable glue, 1 cent. That's right, 1 cent. It's the back-to-school event at Office Depot. Don't be late. Expires 8/13. Binders and erasers limit 3, glue limit 5.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Credit agencies have affirmed France's AAA ratings, which quickly dismissed market speculation the nation was about to be downgraded like the U.S. That speculation is a big part of what sank European and American stocks yesterday. So they're coming back today. Europe's stock market's up 2%. S&P futures rising 11. NASDAQ futures up 27. Dow futures up 134. The company behind Budweiser, Michelob, and Beck says we're just not buying as much beer these days. But Anheuser-Busch InBev says earnings rose anyway last quarter to $1.5 billion as slower sales in the U.S. and some other key markets were offset by higher prices. Whether it's beer, bread, vegetables, you name it, the cost of food is going to keep going up. Wall Street Journal, citing research by the USDA, now predicting the cost of most food in bags, boxes, cans, and fresh in the produce aisle likely will rise 3-4% by next year. High demand from countries including China will help support prices. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... What are you?
I'm a senior master technician.
And you've been with Ford now for how long?
24 years, thankfully.
Jim, a lot of people hear about the works and they figure it's an oil change. It is an oil change, right?
No, Mike, it's not just an oil change.
Please proceed.
Well, it includes a brake inspection, belt and hoses check, checking your cabin filter, your air filter, tire rotation, battery test, top off all the fluids, and a multi-point inspection with a detailed report card.
All right, it certainly seems comprehensive, this works thing. What doesn't it include?
Well, that list is probably very short.
Glove compartment, you check that?
We try to stay out of your glove box.
What about my antenna?
Whatever you need, we've got it covered. The Works Fuel Saver Package is an excellent value for routine maintenance. Stop by your local Ford dealer today and get it all for just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
If we were to sum up, you'd say the Works Fuel Saver Package includes pretty much everything for one low price.
It'll cover everything that your car needs for a scheduled maintenance service.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer or visit Ford owner.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Strong thunderstorms, damaging winds with some... of the United States, Barack Obama, is destroying the United States. Detroit, Michigan embraced progressive policies and corrupt government and unions.
Essentially, the far left wants every captured terrorist to have the same rights all Americans.
According to Tony Truviano, what the governor failed to reveal was the number of lost jobs from that one policy shift alone cost the state of Michigan over 10,000 jobs in the first quarter of this year.
Doing the right thing requires a dedication and commitment to looking beyond the headlines. It requires a level of excellence and unparalleled effort. It requires you to punch in. It requires First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Booyah! Good morning. It is Thursday, and I am Tony Truppiano. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. It is an interesting day. I'm curious how the morning is going to play out. There's really not a lot of news that was made in the last 24 hours, or minus three. I forgot my reading glasses on my desk in my office at home, so I am kind of blind this morning. So that should make it interesting in and of itself. We don't even have a lot of audio. So good morning, and God, I hope you guys have a lot on your mind today, because we're gonna need you. We're absolutely going to need you. We've got lots of announcements today about the Sexy Liberal Tour. And so if you've not bought your tickets yet, now's the time to do it. All the details for the after party are set. And I'm excited to bring that to you folks. And I just want to make sure that you know that starting next week, we've got some tickets to give away. So we'll look forward to that. 7 sets of tickets to give away to the show. So there's a lot of good stuff coming up. The toll-free number here is 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the email address. And I did blog yesterday about the win in Wisconsin, what I consider to be the win in Wisconsin. Interestingly, and we'll talk about this throughout the hour, I was surprised how it was all over the place. One of the surprises was Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman is absolutely, utterly disgusted and disappointed with what happened Tuesday in Wisconsin. And if you listen to Tom as I do, or if you read Tom as I do, I was surprised how hard he came down on what happened in Wisconsin and his quite negative assessment of what that portells for 2012. So anyway, that's interesting. If you want to read my thoughts on what happened in Wisconsin, it's at thetonyshow.org. Just go ahead and you'll see it right on the homepage there. As many of you did yesterday, and I appreciated the comments that you posted to the Facebook First Shift site. Keep in mind that we are going to be open lines, and we literally, folks. Normally, I have 20 or 30 articles sitting in front of me, and I don't know what to get to. I have 2. So today is an excellent day to engage with the show. Jeff, I don't know, and you know, this obviously happens from time to time in radio. It's not that they're aren't things to talk about, but there's not a lot of new stuff to talk about. We've got the Michigan legislature on break. We've got the federal legislature on break. And so, you know, you sit here and, you know what, you can, of course, rehash what happened in the stock market yesterday, which was another 500-plus point dip. I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, it's been a long time since I've had a day like this in radio.
Well, yeah, but there are things that you can analyze and we can talk about, which we will. Obviously, like you said, with the government on break, should they even be on break? Shouldn't they be called back in this situation? I mean, and Obama's being called out for going on vacation. You got what's going on in London. I saw yesterday, especially with what CNN did yesterday, they talked about the riots in London. And could something like that happen here? Because people in the UK were saying, we never thought anything like this could ever happen here. And they started breaking down the reasons for it. And it seemed like the biggest reason was the rift between the haves and the have-nots. Well, isn't that what we talk about here all the time? Is, you know, the rich are getting richer. Meanwhile, you know, the poor and middle class are getting poorer.
Yeah, here's the issue I have with that. And notice I didn't say problem. Here's the issue I have with that. The looting. The looting drives me nuts. Because you can't take what's not yours, Jeff. You can't. I'm talking in the literal sense. Going into a grocery store and vandalizing it and taking the food, or going into an appliance store and just start grabbing stuff that's not yours, that's not right. There's no way to justify that. I understand the fight between the haves and the have-nots, but this isn't about, well, listen, they have it and I don't, and therefore I'm just going to take it. You can never justify that. But certainly, as we take a step back and look at the bigger picture, your question is, could that happen here? It absolutely could happen here. In a heartbeat, it could happen here. And it could happen in a very serious way. And this could be something that could spread from major city to major city, is what's happening in the UK. You know, what started off in London has now spread all over the country. And it's really interesting. So, yeah, we'll certainly get to that.
Yeah, and I'll see if we can get some audio, too, because apparently yesterday, Rush Limbaugh compared the UK riots to a government union worker. So I'll see what that's all about.
Lovely. It was funny. Rush Limbaugh picked on Al Sharpton for misstating something on his MSNBC show the other day. And Rush Limbaugh made a big deal out of it. And so Al Sharpton, at the end of his show yesterday, thanked Rush Limbaugh for making an issue out of something that wasn't an issue, and that he was going to have more. He was going to continue to misspeak because he wanted Rush's audience to start listening to him and watching him. I thought it was kind of clever. The Tigers, absolutely awful performance from Rick Porcello last night. The Bats were extremely quiet in a 10-3 loss, Jeff, that was really disappointing. And in a series that we should have won 2 out of 3, we're going to be lucky to walk away with 1 at this point.
Yeah, don't want to talk. I mean,
you don't want to talk. Well, you don't have a choice.
I know. It's not that I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to. You know, whenever something like this happens, where your team is in a big game and they lose, I don't watch SportsCenter the next day. I try not to watch MSNBC.
Are you in denial?
Not in denial. I mean, it happened, but I'd rather talk about the Mudhens having a big win last night and Brandon Inge, his on base streak continues for Toledo. But I know. That's not the story. The story is that they lost, and not only that, Bosch only had 1 at bat and he was out. Peralta, no. Guillen, no. I mean, it was like they didn't even put forth an effort in the first place.
No, I mean it was not a fun game. I'll be honest with you. I watched 5 minutes of it, and I think I'm being generous by saying that. I ended up watching a little bit of. Lawrence O'Donnell, last word, a little bit of Rachel Maddow. I watched some Pawn Stars, which is how I began my...
That's funny. That's what I did as well. When I turned the game, I was back and forth between the game at some point, and then finally I just gave up on it. But back and forth between Pawn Stars and the game.
Yeah, so that's how I filled my... I had a really interesting day in the office, and again, what continues to be, you know, I had my little technology tweak because I was trying to get everything to sync properly, and everything is great except my wireless internet only on my desktop continues to go out for no apparent reason. So I got to have the guy back out because it keeps happening. It even happened this morning, and it's like there's no rhyme or reason to when it's happening and to get it to reconnect. It's a different process every time. So it's not like when it happens, like, oh, okay, I just need to click this and click that and it'll come back. It's there's no logic to it. And it's driving me nuts. And then I had to buy a new printer. Did I tell you? I don't think I told you. You know how your computer automatically updates? You know,
yeah.
Okay, well.
You did tell us, yeah.
Did I tell you that it automatically updated and made my printer obsolete?
Yeah, and it made it so that you couldn't even download anything to even communicate with the printer.
Right. That's insane. A software patch makes my printer obsolete. Fortunately for me, I found one pretty cheap. Printers aren't really that expensive anymore. It's the cartridges that are expensive. But I went laser printer because laser printers are much more cost efficient than inkjets. So I did go with a laser printer, which cost me a little bit more. But my kids needed a printer for the computers that they use in their part of the house. So I didn't have to buy one there. So all of that worked out in the end. And I'm real excited about the Sexy Liberal Tour coming to town and the after party. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really think it's going to be a great evening. I know you and Todd are looking forward to it as well.
Yes, of course.
Aisha Tyler.
And for Aisha Tyler. Those are the two things we're looking forward to. And the after party.
The question is, you know, I get to introduce Stephanie, which I'm very excited about at the Detroit Opera House. And very, very excited about doing that. But the question is, do I you know, let you and Todd come backstage with me?
And the answer is yes.
Oh, I didn't know that it was a question.
Oh, well, you
well
said
it
that
is
was
for
a,
me. I mean,
you
I
said
have
that was
to
the
wait.
Question,
no,
so
I know.
Answered
I,
it.
I get to answer myself. I don't know. I got to see the solidarity thing, how it works out over the next 10 days. We're 10 days away. 10 days away from the Sexy Liberal Tour hitting Detroit. I just love Stephanie. She's an incredibly beautiful woman. She happens to bat for the other team, but she's an incredibly beautiful woman nonetheless. By the way, Todd, just so you know, I have the Newsweek magazine with Michelle Bachmann on the cover. So if you need to go to the bathroom later, just let me know it's in the studio, okay? Just thought I'd let you know. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We are open lines today. We do have some stuff to get to. We're going to concentrate a little bit on what happened in Wisconsin. The president going on vacation, as well as religion. Politics and religion. Are they separate? Are they equal? Are they getting really confusing? And with the advent of Rick Perry's ascension to the presidency, a candidate to the presidency, and Michelle Bachmann, have we crossed a line that we'll never be able to uncross? That's the question. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Thank you for punching in. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking pretty good out there on the freeways. Traffic volumes are light and moving at posted speeds, if not just a little bit faster. A reminder that Novi Road north and southbound between 10 Mile and Grand River is currently closed due to road construction. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high right around 80, tonight partly cloudy. A low in the lower 60s, and then tomorrow mostly sunny, a high near 81. Currently it's fair and 61 at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Trippiano coming up after this.
Collect your rewards when you play at MGM Grand Detroit. From July 11th through the 29th, play, earn, collect, win during the Collect and Win Free Play promotion. It's as simple as playing your favorite slots and earning 100 points Monday at 10 a.m. through Friday at 10 p.m. each week. Then swipe at any promotional kiosk for your chance to collect all four virtual M-Life Players Club cards and win $25 in free play. Keep playing each week to collect and win. See M-Life Players Club for more details.
MGM Grand Detroit.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers. Retirees are reaching out to me this morning as well, Bob, and wanting to know if you're going to protect their interests in this latest round of negotiations with the auto companies.
We greatly honor and respect our retirees, so we've always been very strong in their passion to support and help retirees. We are very, very mindful of our retirees and helping them and honoring all the contributions they've made.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDGW.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 22 minutes. Good morning to you. It is the 6 o'clock hour, and I want to thank you all for punching in this early morning. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day is out there. With the price of gold setting records daily, have you either considered or have you cashed in whatever gold you have? The reason I bring this up is on the front page of the Free Press this morning, there's an article about that, and of course, it was just yesterday that I talked to a friend of mine who was talking with his wife, and they just casually said, Jeff, you're going to find this fascinating. They were having this casual conversation, and the topic of gold. Gold is over $1,700 an ounce now. And so they said, they were talking, and he said, you know, we should just take a look at the gold that we have that we don't use, old jewelry, whatever, you know, whatever we got in the house, and just kind of just see what it's worth. And this was on Sunday. So she did. Monday morning she got up and she kind of collected all the stuff that they had that they don't use, the jewelry that they don't use. You know, gold chains were big in the 80s, not so much anymore. So anyway, she went to a jewelry store. This happens to be out of state, but she went to a jewelry store and said, okay, if I were to cash this in, you know, how much would I get? $4,700, Jeff. $4,700.
That's a nice chunk of change.
And that's for stuff that they that's just sitting there. So she goes, oh, well, that's really cool. Wow, that's a lot of money. So she brings it home. So she says to my buddy, you know, hey, honey, I brought the gold in, and, you know, it's worth $4,700. And he said, what the hell did you bring it home for? You know, and so they absolutely went in the next day, and that $4,700 turned into $5,300 overnight. Overnight. It's just blowing my mind.
That is crazy, because I saw a news report the other day where people were they had bought stuff at local stores, Macy's or whatever, you know, and those places actually jack up the prices past what gold is actually worth.
Oh, absolutely.
So these people were like, you know, they set up a stand with a gold expert, and people were coming over and having their gold appraised, and they found out all the stuff that they had recently bought, which, again, maybe that's the difference between now and then in the 80s. All the stuff they recently bought was actually way less than what they thought it was worth.
Oh, really?
But, I mean, with the gold soaring the last couple of days, maybe now it's back up to value. But, yeah, it was they had bought it in the last couple of months, and it actually was less valued than what they bought it for.
Well, I don't think you should ever buy jewelry at a mall. Okay, I just don't think a mall's the best place to buy jewelry. I think the reason people do it is because they're much looser with their credit terms. And so you can, you know, go in there and, you know, buy a bracelet for your sweetie or whatever, a ring, whatever you want to do. And they're a little looser with their credit terms than a jewelry store is. My experience is you're always better off going to a jewelry store to buy stuff, you know, the retail part of it. The markup on jewelry, Jeff, is astronomical. You know, there's a reason why jewelers are fairly wealthy, why they're job creators, Jeff. Because, you know, the markup on jewelry, on gold, on diamonds, on precious metals is really significant. But buying your stuff at the mall is probably not the best program if you're looking to build a jewelry collection, at least in my opinion. But, yeah, I mean, $5,300 for stuff that was literally just sitting in a jewelry chest on their dresser. And they weren't using it. It wasn't like they were going to wear it next week or anything. It's been sitting in there for 10 years or more. So I'm just curious if people are looking to do that to get some extra cash. Now, the few responses we've had so far is everybody's saying no, they wouldn't do that. But it's interesting nonetheless, and that is a lot of money. So here's the question, Jeff. Governor Rick Perry of Texas is supposed to announce this weekend, or at least heavily intimate this weekend, that he's going to throw his hat in the ring as a Republican for the presidential nomination. Last weekend, as many of you know, he held an event called The Response, and it was held in Houston, and it was not well attended. 30,000 people, it was less than half full. He invited governors from all 50 states. Only one governor showed up. The clergy that was responsible for The Response were part of a rare and extremely right-wing religious sect called the Apostolic something or other. And they believe that the second coming of Christ is coming and that their job as apostles is to prepare the government, all right, for the resurrection. That's how they believe. Now, Rick Perry handpicked these folks to lead The Response last weekend. That was his whole thing. And he said that this was not a political event. Yet, of course, it was very political. But this apostolic group, Jeff, interestingly enough, keeps saying that, you know, again, they're preparing the government for the revelation and for the resurrection, the Christ is coming, you know, that it's coming, the apocalypse, whatever. And that the government has to be prepared. That, in my opinion, of course, is scary. We also have Michelle Bachmann, who is very Christian-centric. Much of what she talks about is based on God talking to her husband, Marcus, and directing her on what to do. In fact, she'll be the first to tell you that she didn't want to be in politics, but it was what God wanted. And didn't want to run for president, but it's what God wanted. Has this crossed a line? And that's my question to the audience this morning. 888-552-3595. Do you believe that this crosses a bit? And I'm not talking about the separation of church and state. That's a totally different, well, maybe it's not totally different, but that's not necessarily just what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as we look to elect our political leaders, does their deep faith, their deep commitment to Christianity, and I think it's important that we underscore Christianity because we live in a very dynamic country where not everybody's a Christian. And so when somebody is wearing their Christianity on their sleeve, if you will, as the Bachmans do, as the Perrys do, should you be concerned that they are seen as options for the presidency? I mean, legitimate options. And in fact, in a recent poll that was released yesterday, if Rick Perry were to enter the race, he would be number two behind Mitt Romney. Now, Mitt Romney, of course, is a Mormon. So that, you know, a religion factors in there. Should religion be such a big focus? And should candidates bring their spirituality into the political arena? Is that appropriate? I don't know, Jeff. It's pretty scary as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think you bring your values, your morals. I mean, the fact that you treat, each other as human beings, your brother, your sister, or whatever, I think you bring that into the equation. But, I mean, that's called compassion, and that's what I think you get from the Democrats, whereas the Republicans, you seem everyone's out for themselves. It's all fairness. It's fairness because you leave poor people behind, and you have to work, you give the benefits to the people who like the rich.
Well, but isn't that really what's interesting about this discussion? Because the Republicans are the ones that are ultra conservative. They're the ones that are ultra religious, and yet they don't take care of their brother's keeper. It's a fascinating dynamic. Would really like some audience participation on this question. Have they crossed a line? And why are they taken seriously as candidates? Because we see the polling shows that they're turning some people on. Where's the disconnect? 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address. We'll take the break. We'll be back on First Shift right after this on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. No problems out there on the freeways for the moment. Just a reminder that Joy Road over top of the Southfield Freeway is currently closed. Pontiac Trail north and southbound between Welch and M5. That's currently closed as well. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today: fantastic. Mostly sunny, a high right around 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny once again, a high in the lower 80s. Currently, it's fair and 61 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Tribbiano coming up after this.
2011 was a good year for Chevy, but don't take our word for it. 5 IIH stop safety picks, a bunch of prestigious awards, and 2011 North American Car of the Year, the Chevy Model Year Wrap-Up. Get in on our greatest model year yet.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO is acting this month with 450 events around the country demanding that politicians act urgently to help create jobs. With dark economic clouds gathering once again, a tumultuous stock market horror ride, and many millions of Americans still out of work, the AFL-CIO is calling on President Obama to come up with a jobs program adequate in scale to deal with the jobs crisis. Labor all along has insisted that not nearly enough is being done by government to stimulate jobs creation. The AFL-CIO's board recently met with Obama on jobs. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says the debt deal will cost 1.8 million jobs, and he says it's time that Obama launched a jobs initiative big enough to really matter, rather than settling for what Republicans will accept. Public employees are the subjects of a new public service announcement campaign to build public support, Jesse Russell reports.
The National Treasury Employees Union has launched a new campaign that seeks to improve the image of public sector workers. The union, which represents more than 150,000 employees in 30 government agencies, is seeking to counter the rise of harmful attacks on federal and other public sector employees. In addition to radio and television PSAs, the union has launched a website that notes the many ways employees in the public sector work for everyday citizens. For example, the website, theyworkforus.org, asks people to think about who provides the safety when they drink water, eat a meal, visit a doctor, travel abroad, and deposit paychecks. The following is a PSA the union produced called Who Can We Turn To?, which seeks to show federal employees through the eyes of Americans.
Who can we turn to?
To watch over our food supply.
To safeguard our bank deposits.
To protect our water and the air we breathe.
Who can we turn to?
To monitor drugs for safety.
To defend our borders. Federal employees provide vital services to defend our national security, support our economy, and improve our health. Federal employees, they work for us.
Go to theyworkforus.org.
The Secretary Treasurer of the San Diego Imperial County's AFL-CIO says that she won't be intimidated by thugs who threw a heavy rock through her living room picture window. The attack came right after a right-wing blogger, who is also the secretary of the San Diego Republican Party, posted a verbal attack on Lorena Gonzalez. Gonzalez says that the blogger had warned her for months that she was being watched. Gonzalez says the attempt to intimidate her instead inspires her to do even more for workers. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning. The question is religion and politics and the juxtaposition of the two. We have two candidates, well, one to soon announce, that is making their Christianity a central point of who they are and wearing it on their sleeve, being very upfront about it. And yet they're enjoying some popularity in the polls. And it makes you wonder if we don't get it or they don't get it. That's the question. 888-552-3595. And let me say good morning to David in Farmington and welcome you to First Shift. David, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, sir. I propose that I do want politicians to really let me know where they're thinking at on a spiritual basis. I really don't want to encourage politicians to keep their theology in the closet, if you will. It goes to their makeup and how they're decision making. I truly believe that President Bush's thought process and a lot of his decisions was based on his spirituality.
Well, that's what he told us anyway, David. I remember at one point he gave an interview and he said, you know, I go to my father for advice, and I don't mean my dad. And referring to God, of course.
Right, right. So, I mean, I have a brother-in-law that's a minister in the Assemblies of God Church, and he point-blank told me that, you know, he was told by Republican, behind the scenes leaders. That was why Bush went into Iraq. I mean, he was trying to advance the word of God, if you will, and hasten the second coming of Christ. That was all part of his big plan. So, I mean, I think we want to know what people's theology and what they're thinking about. I don't think it's well served if the media is coming out and slamming politicians because of their spirituality. That being said, I think we need to look at their spirituality and their core faith belief and weigh that into a judgment.
I would agree
Governor
with you, David.
Perry, for instance, I would never vote for, but it's nice to know what he's dealing with.
I think you make an important point. Yes, it is good to know because I believe that and David, thank you for your call. In my opinion, you know, either Governor Perry or Congresswoman Bachman, their beliefs are extreme, in my opinion. Now, you need to understand, I grew up in a family, in a home where my father was Roman Catholic, and as was my mother, until she became a fundamentalist born-again Christian when I was, 10 or 11 years old. And that was an interesting dynamic in our home. I don't mind telling you, it changed things a great deal from a spiritual standpoint. My mother went to prayer meetings and hosted prayer meetings and spoke in tongues, and so that is an interesting influence on my life. Again, my dad, a very traditional Roman Catholic upbringing, which is the way we were raised. So I believe that David's right, that it is important that we know what somebody's spiritual beliefs are, and I think at some level it also helps us make a decision. I guess I find it interesting that in the extremes of Perry and Bachman, they're doing as well as they're doing. 888-552-3595. Jeff at Milford's on the other end of my line. And Jeff, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Tony. I call in every now and again.
And I appreciate
it. In this case, religion has like 10% of what the candidate is to me, okay? Because they're claiming that they're going to prepare the way for God. Well, if you really are religious, no matter what we do, God's going to be more powerful, right?
Right.
So what can we do that's going to prepare the way? Nothing. Second of all, if you're going around the world trying to cram your thoughts and views down someone's throat, then we have learned nothing from our history, from the Crusades to the Inquisition, etc. Third, this country was founded on religious freedom because people were trying to leave Europe to escape the wars that were going on between the Protestants and the Catholics and so forth. So, you know, look, second of all, with Bachmann, if she really thinks that she's supposed to be a world leader, technically, if you read in 1 Timothy 2:12, women were kind of like subservients. So I don't know where she's coming from.
Well, but she was told that her husband was told by God that this is what she needs to be doing. So that's why she's doing it. I'm just telling you what she said.
Okay, let's take it back one step. If we really are, since Christ came, and we really are one-on-one with God, he doesn't have to telegram through people anymore. He would have told her personally if Christ was her personal Savior. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, and you know what? I'm going to tell you, Jeff, you obviously know what you're talking about. I've been around enough people of deep spiritual belief to know that you are walking in the correct light. I'll say that much. I am a very spiritual person. I pray. I have a relationship with God. It is my relationship. I don't share it with you folks very often because, frankly, I don't think it has a whole lot to do with what I do every day. If asked, I certainly have no problem discussing my beliefs. With that said, I get uncomfortable when we see the extreme views that people take because of their religion, as Bachmann does, as Perry does, when I'm looking for somebody that will represent an entire country, not just a certain segment of the country. Go ahead, Jeff.
Once again, I have to agree with you when they say, you know, well, who are you, your brother's keeper? Who, as Christ said, as you treat the least of these, you treat me. And yet, they don't give a crap about the poor, and they don't give a crap about the uninsured. And I've always said, why do the Republicans hate unions? Because I'm union, I make good money. If they want such good tax dollars, they should love unions because we have to pay our taxes because everybody's got their contracts written through the union hall.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, then they're illegal.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate, Jeff, I appreciate your insight this morning. Very, very intelligent and very insightful. And I important dialogue. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're just going to move on to our next caller. Again, 888-552-3595. Again, religion has become and will become a bigger part of this. He mentioned George W., who talked eloquently, if you will, one of the few times he talked eloquently, when he talked about his spirituality. George W. Bush was considered evangelical, born-again Christian. And part of that, he said, came as a result of the demons he had fighting his alcoholism. Let's go to James in Garden City. James, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tony. Basically, I've always had a philosophy that a fanatic of any stripe is dangerous, and the most dangerous of all is one in religion.
Well, listen, look at how much bloodshed, look at how many people have died, James, in the name of religion.
No kidding. That's one of the reasons that, especially when you get the evangelists type where they say, well, if Israel and whatever ever come to peace, then the rest of, you know, here comes whatever. And if they're that, they could be pushing the button just to speed things along.
Well, you know, if that sounds a little crazy to people, James, shame on them. Thank you for your call. You know, listen, folks, if you were listening to what Jeff said, Jeff said that, you know, there was a conversation, whether it is legitimate or not, we don't know, but that George Bush said the reason he went into Iraq is because, you know, God told him that this, you know, was what he had to do. We can dissect that all we want. We've been, of course, what happened in Afghanistan last weekend, losing 30 Navy SEALs, six Afghanistan troops, and an interpreter. In the process of that, we see trillions of dollars, taxpayer dollars gone. Thousands of lives ruined forever, families that will never be whole again. And the decision was made because God told George Bush to invade Iraq. I'm just saying that is a possibility. I'm not saying that is exactly what happened. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. But certainly when we look at politics in that context and we infuse religion into that discussion, and we see that you have people like the Bachmans and the Perrys, that their faith guides them to the point where, you know, it is what is part of their decision-making process. You're right. We do need to know that. I mean, we do need to know that. Let's go to Joe in Detroit. Joe, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
How are you this morning, my friend?
I'm fine, thank you.
I the hypocrisy of these are the same people that scream and yell about Sharia law, but yet they want to implement Christian law into United States law.
Oh, you're right. Hypocrisy is definitely the right word there, Joe.
They want to implement Christian laws on a country of people who aren't all Christians, but they scream and yell about Sharia law.
Well, again, I appreciate your thought. I mean, you're 100% correct, and it just makes sense, folks. Stop and think about what if we were to have somebody of the Jewish faith running for the presidency, and all they did was focus on Jewish law. That's all they focused on was their Jewish faith. They would never get elected, would they? Or a Muslim that would run, and all they talked about was Sharia law. They would obviously not get elected, but because it's under the umbrella of Christianity, it's somehow okay. That makes me uncomfortable. 888-552-3595. We got to get to the break. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We spend federal money to save money. Where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310
WDTW.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift, the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour, for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayville Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, I'm going to thank everybody for the calls. We're going to move on from the religion and politics debate. But, yeah, I think that, you know, certainly that first call, we do need to know. Jeff, very clear, so we do need to know what candidates' religious beliefs are. It does help us decide. Again, the part that makes me a little bit nervous is that some of you are obviously turned on by these fundamentalist Christians who would allow their Christianity to make the decision and not necessarily facts, if
well,
you will.
And we did get a call and about that didn't go on the air that said for us to have this discussion, politics and religion, is basically lunacy.
Oh, it was Tim in Brownstown, just say it.
I think it's funny because the reason why we're having it is because it's not because we brought it up, like, oh, you know, these hidden views of the Republicans. No, the Republicans are making it an issue by putting it forth like, this is why you should vote for me. This is why you should hire me for president, is because I bring with me these values, and they're very open about it. So who really starts the discussion isn't us. We're just putting it out there and asking you what you thought about it.
Right. Well,
that's not lunacy in my book.
Well,
but
once again, why Tim isn't allowed to get on the show, because that point of view obviously makes no sense. I want to come back to the Wisconsin. We've got some audio that I want to share from the Democratic National Committee. Why don't we go ahead and play that audio, and then I'll comment.
I'm with the Democratic Party Chairman, Mike Tate. And, Mike, we just heard from Kathy Nicholas in Waukesha County. She tells us that all but one reporting unit from Menominee Falls are in. We heard the numbers that I just mentioned to you a moment ago. You stood on the stage here a short time ago and suggested that she was sitting on ballots. How concerned are you about what's going on in Waukesha County?
Well, I think everybody who lives in Waukesha County should be concerned that two elections in a row, we're seeing very questionable activities by the county clerk there. I think this is someone who is a paid partisan operative in her prior life. She, at best, is royally incompetent, as demonstrated in her April elections, and at worst is conducting criminal voter fraud. I think this is an election that Sandy Pasch has won, and I think that we need to be very careful and very prudent in looking at the Waukesha County returns here. It's already been a historic night. We've won two seats. We're waiting to see what happens, and we are very concerned that this election appears to be in the hands of Kathy Nicholas.
Concerned to the point that we're looking at the potential here for a recount.
Concerned to the point that we are speaking extensively with our attorneys, we are talking with lawyers and trying to find out what is the best way to suss out what exactly is happening in Waukesha County. And look, this should be a concern shared by everybody who lives in Waukesha County. Two elections in a row, she has screwed up counting the vote. And regardless if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you should know that your vote is going to count. Now, Kathy Nicholas has failed at that task, and I think it raises serious questions about what's going on tonight.
You know, and again, whether it's right or wrong, when you have Waukesha County, it is now infamous. First, the Supreme Court, we find a bunch of votes after all the votes are counted. Now what happens on Tuesday night in Waukesha County, there, I believe, will be a challenge, although I don't know that to be a fact as we speak. Elections, folks, election integrity should be sacrosanct. It should be something that is absolutely ironclad. You know for good that, yes, your vote is being counted. It is such an important part of your profile as a citizen and as a member of your community. And to not know that your vote is counted is troublesome, which to me is another form of voter suppression, to be honest with you. What happened in Wisconsin on Tuesday night seems to be a matter of opinion, both on the left and on the right. Although the right, I need to mention, are not claiming any kind of substantive victory because, A, it would be foolish of them to do that. They did lose Seuss two seats. Fascinatingly, as we take a look at the history of recalls, very few times have they been successful. In Wisconsin, they absolutely did something that, again, I see as miraculous. They recalled two sitting members of their state Senate. The reality of that happening, the odds of that happening, were not great. Keep in mind that these Republicans were elected less than a year ago in Republican areas. So, you know, what they did was truly miraculous. Now, not everybody feels that way. Some people feel like the money won. Some $8 million in Waukesha County alone. $8 million spent on a recall election. Don't you think that she doesn't owe somebody a whole lot of favors? And so, what does this say about 2012? I think it says great things about 2012. Not everybody agrees with me. I was shocked, as I said earlier in this hour, that Tom Hartman was quite negative about what happened. He saw this, that is, this was Citizens United winning, and that corporations win, and ALEC wins, and that's just the way it is. I don't see it that way in any way, shape, or form, but I understand where Tom and others are coming from that have that point of view. I'm just not one of them.
I'm starting to fall on that view a little bit, leaning towards what Tom... I mean, to the point where we've seen the lunacy, the ridiculousness of the Tea Party, and the fact that, you know, in what's going on in Wisconsin, there's an uproar. People were upset, and yet with all that focus on Wisconsin, with all that focus on the extremist of the Tea Party.
Yeah, but that wasn't about the Tea Party. The Wisconsin is not about the Tea Party, Jeff. That was about workers' rights.
But the lumping in of the GOP party, the Republicans, and making a statement. I mean, that should have been enough for people to say, okay, we don't want this, you know, this to come here and this to affect Wisconsin. We need to come out and vote and really get it done. I mean, you would have thought that the uprising and the emotion and everything that's been put into this story in Wisconsin would have been enough for at least three seats to be turned.
All right, but here, let me, again, and I'm glad that you bring this up. I think it's important to have this conversation. All six races were in Republican areas, all right? Three of them were so Republican that nobody ever thought they could turn them, all right? Actually, four of them were. In two of them, they took a red district and turned it blue on Tuesday night. And the third one, the vote was so close that it took them until the middle of the night before they could call it. And you don't see that as a victory.
It's not enough is where
Well, it didn't end up giving them the result that they wanted, which was to turn the Senate from Republican control to Democrat control. Yes, it failed in that regard. But I don't think that we can take a look at what happened Tuesday night and do anything but feel good about what they did accomplish. You know, historically, recalls are losing propositions. Now, what does this mean when we take a look at the bigger picture to recall Governor Scott Walker? You're the one that said it to me before the show. If you take a look at what happened district by district, right now, if the election were held today, Scott Walker would lose the governorship of the state of Wisconsin, wouldn't he?
That's the way it broke down when I saw the numbers. But it doesn't diminish the fact that I feel disappointment when I think a tidal wave is coming, and yet it's just a small wave up on the shore.
Well,
I
was going to say, man, because that would be the wrong way to characterize that. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Tom Jankowski will join us. We're going to talk about senior citizens, and you're going to be shocked, literally shocked, by what we're going to tell you. More than 33% of them can't take care of their basic needs. This is information you need to know. I'm Tony Trupiano, Ross with Traffic and Weather, CNN with Headline News. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We are seeing some heavier volumes out there on the roadways right now, but really no major slowdowns. You might find a bit of a tap on the brakes 75 southbound as you get close to I-696, but really that's about it. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly sunny, a high around 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 70s to lower 80s. Currently, it's fair and 61 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Tribbiano coming up after the top of the hour.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Tribbiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Tribbiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW,
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, you can expect the roller coaster ride to continue on Wall Street today. The Dow dropped over 500 points Wednesday, but stock futures are higher this morning. Economist Peter Cardillo says investor fear is driving the markets.
Volatility combined with a heightened fear factor index is causing vibrations during the course of the day that can make your head spin.
A large number of Americans don't even have $1,000 to cover an emergency. CNN's Lisa Campbell tells us about a new survey that asks people if they're ready for a rainy day.
If Americans were a real-life Monopoly game, it would almost be game over. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling says 64% of us could not pull from a non-401k savings account for $1,000. Credit counselors say most troubling are those who say to get it, they'd have to neglect another debt like the mortgage, which exacerbates the problem.
Five NATO service members were killed in an improvised explosive device attack in southern Afghanistan today. Also, the country's defense ministry says 189 militants have been killed in the past few weeks. British Prime Minister David Cameron says good progress is being made in restoring order in England. Cameron spoke to an emergency session of Parliament about the recent riots that have swept across the country.
The whole country has been shocked by the most appalling scenes of people looting, violence, vandalizing, and thieving. It is criminality, pure and simple, and there is absolutely no excuse for it.
About 16,000 police officers will stay on the streets of London through the weekend. California's grim sleeper may be responsible for 230 murders. L.A. police are expanding the serial killing case. The suspect, Lonnie David Franklin Jr., is currently charged with 10 murders. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
With Ally Bank's 24/7 live customer care, you can speak with a real person, not a machine, anytime you want. If you need to know the latest and greatest interest rate at 1 p.m. or check your account balance at 4 a.m., it's no problem. Just press 0 to speak with a knowledgeable customer care associate who will help answer your questions. Plus, we post our wait times right on our website, so not a moment of your time is wasted. When it comes to banking, who wouldn't love that? Learn more at allybank.com. Member FDIC.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
Rebound rally for stocks in Europe following yesterday's aggressive selling. This after France's perfect credit ratings, believed threatened, were affirmed by the ratings agencies. European stock markets gaining as much as 2% today. U.S. stock futures are nursing relatively moderate gains following Wall Street's 4-5% clock cleaning yesterday. S&P futures up 9, NASDAQ futures up 20, Dow futures up 58. Asian markets had a tougher go of it, most indexes there falling as much as 1%. Here's probably the last thing you want to hear as you've been watching stock prices go down. Food prices are going to keep going up. Wall Street Journal citing research by the Agriculture Department, predicting increases of 3-4% on average for food prices well into next year. That means recent hikes in the cost of your breakfast, including coffee and cereal, will be followed up by more price hikes, or at least in the case of Kellogg's, the same price for smaller boxes. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Who has the best back-to-school event in the business?
Depot does!
Office Depot announces even lower prices on 75 top back-to-school items, plus weekly specials you won't believe. One-inch binder, just 50 cents. Three-pack paper make erasers, just 50 cents. Pourable glue, 1 cent. That's right, 1 cent. It's the back-to-school event at Office Depot. Don't be late. Expires 8/13. Binders and erasers limit 3, glue limit 5.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here. And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
I think this is a challenge.
Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on our second of 3 hours on this Thursday First Shift program. Thank you for punching in with us today. If you are just joining us, well, welcome aboard and good morning to you. We had a great first hour. Talked considerably about religion and politics and how they are intercrossing and some of the troubling aspects of that. Some very intelligent callers in the last hour. We're going to have plenty of time for open lines a little later on in this hour, but we're about to get to a story that I found astounding. It just happens to be that the gentleman who is with us today is a good friend of mine, and I'll introduce him in just a moment. I do want to remind you, if you'd like to join us at any time throughout the program today, you're always more than welcome to do that. Our toll-free number is 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address always tony@thetonyshow.org. We also have some news and information to get to you today about the Sexy Liberal Tour. We have the after party details all ready and raring to go, so we'll get to that in this hour as well. So there's a lot to get to. Let me turn though my attention now to my next guest. I belong to a lot of different lists, and one of them led me to a link to a headline that said, "Invisible Poverty, the new measurement unveils financial hardship in Michigan's older adult population." I was stunned by what I read, and I thought that this was something that I would want to share with all of you, because I think this is information you need to know. Joining me now is Dr. Tom Jankowski. Tom is the Associate Director of Research at Wayne State University's Institute of Gerontology, and he joins us today. I said he's a friend when I ran for Congress. Tom was one of those people that was an advisor to me. I consider him to be a wonderful person. I know his mom and dad, great family. And, Tom, it's a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Well, thank you for your kind words, Tony.
How's your wonderful family doing?
They are doing just fine, thanks.
Great. Kids must be getting big. I haven't seen them in a long time now.
Oh, yeah. I see them sort of fly by every now and then.
Fair enough. Tom, let's talk about what I believe is a disturbing report that was, of course, done by Wayne State University, Invisible Poverty. Tell the audience, let's just give them a little foundational information.
Well, Tony, what we did was, those of you who are following economic news have probably known for quite a while, like those of us in the research area have, that the federal poverty measure comes up short in a lot of different ways. And so there's been talk for the last 15 or 20 years of how can we improve this. In a nutshell, the way that poverty is figured by the federal government is they decide what is sort of the basic food needs of an individual, and then they find out how much that costs, triple it, and that's the poverty line. And this is based on some really old methodology and old consumer behavior surveys from the late 1950s, and we've known for a long time that the poverty index doesn't really capture the extent to which people are struggling. And so a number of different organizations, the federal government itself has come up with a new measure. The one that we used was one called the Elder Index, which was developed by Wider Opportunities for Women and the Gerontology Institute at the University of Massachusetts Boston. And it was intended to measure the actual needs of an older individual or older couple in terms of what they need to survive at a basic level. And it, rather than starting with this arbitrary number and applying it across the board to everybody, whether you live in rural Oklahoma or Manhattan, the Elder Index actually looks at the costs of housing, food, transportation, health care, and other expenses by geographical area. So there's a different Elder Index for every county in the U.S. There's also a different Elder Index depending on whether you own without a mortgage, own with a mortgage, or rent, and whether you're in good, fair, or poor health, because, of course, the cost of living varies by all those things. So we started out with these numbers that were developed in partnership with the Elder Law of Michigan. They sort of ran the Elder Index project here in Michigan, and they developed a list of, you know, what it takes to live, whether you're a single or an older couple retired in Michigan, county by county. And we decided to take those numbers and actually apply them to the census population data to find out exactly where we are.
Well, you know, again, the numbers were astounding to me, disturbing, Tom, if you will. And we take a look at, and this is the part, of course, that grabbed me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. We're talking about in Oakland County, in Bloomfield Hills, one of the wealthiest suburbs in the entire United States. They've got a serious problem there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we found. Well, let me step back a minute and say that when you look at the official poverty index figures from the U.S. Census Bureau, you find that about just under 10% of seniors in Michigan live in poverty, according to the official statistics. When we took the Elder Index numbers, which again, talks about the basic cost of living in various areas and applied them on a county-by-county basis to that older population data, we found that 37% of seniors in Michigan struggle to make ends meet on a month-by-month basis.
Well,
they come up short. They're either eating less than they would like to, or cutting pills in half, or cutting corners in some other way, or getting help from their families, informal help.
Well, you know, this is the part that I find both disturbing and interesting, Tom Jankowski, because when we take a look at the numbers, it tells me a lot of different things. But one of the things it says to me, because I, you know, we all know people in this age group, how many of them are quietly suffering? That's the part that kind of eats, you know, that's the liberal that I am, but that's the part that eats at me.
Well, it's true, and we found, you know, the lowest proportion of seniors living under the Elder Index in any county in Michigan, still over 25%. So one in four seniors in Michigan, even in the affluent, wealthy areas of the state, are struggling to get by. And this is not something that they necessarily broadcast to everybody.
No, they don't. You know, And as we take a look at this data, I'm kind of curious, when since this has come out, I can't imagine I'm the only one that's reacted to this. What has been the reaction from the general public or from the media to this study?
Oh, I think everybody's shocked at how high the numbers are. Because they figure that, well, we haven't heard anything about this. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately about cutting Social Security and Medicare as if there's a great deal of slack in those programs. Plus, there's sort of this popular conception of older people with their golf carts and their vacations. But that certainly doesn't apply to most seniors.
You know, I would think, Tom, as we take a look at what's happening economically around the country, and certainly I think more specifically to Southeast Michigan, to the audience that we're talking to today, you know, there was a time in this country, and I think that it's the scenario gets smaller and smaller as each year passes, unfortunately, where, you know, mom and dad were always there for the kids. It doesn't matter how old the kids were. You know, if you needed maybe a little money for that down payment on the house, mom and dad were kind of there for you. As you got older, you know, mom and dad had their retirement, their pensions, and of course we know that equation has changed. And all of a sudden, I think we're seeing, you know, more especially the people in this older demographic having to kind of turn that table a little bit. And Tom, my concern is as the child of the parent, if you will, you know, I don't know that I have the money to support mom and dad the way we, you know, kind of expected it to be the other way. You know, as these tables are turning, the money's just not there.
Well, it's not. And, you know, Tony, I've been doing some other research, a little historical research on what older people did before they had Social Security and Medicare. And I was interested to find out that according to the Michigan compiled laws of 1925, before Social Security and Medicare came into place, adult children were legally responsible for supporting their parents. And if you refused to support a destitute parent and you had the means to do so, you could be sent to 6 months in prison at hard labor. And it seems like some people want to return back to those days.
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, we had somebody call the show last week before we were talking about the debt ceiling debate, and someone said, well, you know, the Republicans are scaring my grandmother because she's afraid she's not going to get her Social Security check. And this is a real fear. This is not something we take lightly, Tom.
Absolutely not. And in fact, one of the points that I usually make when I'm talking to groups about retirement is that, you know, I think of retirement security as sort of a four-legged stool. One of the legs is Medicare, and that is something that until recently we haven't had to really even take into consideration, because Medicare coverage for people age 65 or older is almost universal. It's in the mid to upper 90 percentile of how many people are covered by Medicare. But the other three legs are private savings and investment, a pension, employer-sponsored pension plan, and Social Security. And, you know, if you take away one of those legs, the stool gets a little unstable. And if you take away a couple of the legs, the stool can't stand. So what we found is that people who rely almost exclusively on Social Security for their retirement income are at much, much greater risk of falling under that elder index level and actually having to struggle to
pay
their bills.
Tom, we've got to take a quick break. Stay where you're at. We'll come back. We'll continue this discussion. Tom Jankowski, again, my guest. Listen, this to me is elder abuse is what it is. We need to figure out how to turn this around a bit. If you want to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Things looking pretty good up on the roadways right now. Just a couple of slow spots. 75 southbound between 12 Mile and 696, and then 275 northbound between Ann Arbor Road and the 96 M14 interchange. We do have one accident, 94 westbound at Chalmers. It's on the shoulder, causing some very minor delays. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high right around 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, high in the upper 70s to lower 80s. Currently, it's fair and 59 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Find your magic at Macy's Super Saturday Sale with all-day specials Friday and Saturday. Jeffrey Bean and Kenneth Cole Reaction dress shirts and ties, 50% off. Take 65% off all 14-karat gold earrings. Save on Junior Screen Tees, now two for $24. And all 9-piece bed ensembles are $99.99. All-day specials Friday and Saturday at Macy's Super Saturday Sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today. Tweet. My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Tony Truppiano. My guest in this half hour, Tom Jankowski. He is the Associate Director of Research at Wayne State University's Institute of Gerontology. We're talking about a report that was recently released entitled Invisible Poverty. And I have to tell you, folks, as we take a look at our elder population, the way that fortunately they're now measuring this, you know, Tom, one of the things that comes to mind are those agencies that are traditionally there to help seniors fill in those gaps. I would imagine they're more stressed. Their budgets are more stressed. I know that's true. We had somebody on the show and not too long ago that's talking about things like transportation become more and more problematic as these budgets are disappearing. What's happening with these agencies that are there to help seniors that are trying to fill that gap between the monies they have and the money they need?
What's happening is they're trying to do more with less, but I'll tell you, the area agencies on aging in Michigan recently had their budgets cut by about 10%, and they have waiting lists for nearly every service that they provide, Meals on Wheels and in-home care, all kinds of stuff. So it's definitely getting tighter for everybody out there.
Do older couples, senior couples that are married, are they finding it a little easier to get by?
It's always easier with a couple than it is with an individual. They can live more cheaply per person. They're there to support each other. And of course, you know, as the population gets older, then they have more of a chance of being widowed and living alone, and more of a chance of being women, actually, because the older people get, men have lower life expectancies. So when you look at that 85-plus age group, it's mostly women and mostly people who live alone.
Well, you know, again, one of my concerns is still how many of them are silently suffering. That is a real problem. By the way, there is a website if people want to go to take a closer look at this data and get other information. It's www.seniorscount.org, seniorscount.org, and we'll post this to the Facebook page as well for those of you that that want to go check this out. Yeah, you know, Tom, this is one of those stories where you can't really say, well, you know, this is more heinous than this, and oh my God, this is more dramatic than that, because really this is one of those umbrella issues. There's nothing good about this report that shows that more than one in three seniors, again, within the sound of our voice, there are people listening to this radio station right now that are, you know, we often hear, especially during the campaign cycles, you know, well, I had to choose between my medicine and food. Those are actually real choices. That's just not a convenient campaign slogan.
No, those are choices that people are faced with every single day. Absolutely.
Well, I just can't fathom I just can't fathom having to go through that. You live this entire wonderful life. You get to this point in your life where you think that you're going to be okay. You're going to be able to get by, and you're not. You know, going back, you were talking about those four legs, or the three legs, Tom, and we take a look at Medicare and the private saving. That's the part that's concerning me, because again, I know people that are seniors, that are in their 70s, their 80s, that all of a sudden their adult children found themselves through whatever means it was. They lost a job. They both lost a job. You know, something happened, and what little savings they've given it to their children and leaving themselves with nothing. You know, and we talk about responsibility. We were talking the last hour, Tom, about, you know, help, you know, your brother's keeper, being your brother's keeper. This is another one of those where we say, well, they should have planned better. Well, you can't plan for the kind of economy and the wars and all the other things that have happened, Tom. And I mean, when you're 30, 40, 50, 60 years old and you're getting ready for retirement, you're not saying to yourself, well, gee, I really need to plan for the bottom falling out of the economy, you know, 20 years from now. You can't do that. And so doesn't society have something to do? Don't they have some culpability in making sure that they fill this gap somehow?
Well, I think that's a valid point. You know, one of the big changes that's occurred over the last generation or so that has really impacted this issue is the move from defined benefit to defined contribution pensions. You know, when you have a defined benefit pension, you know, you have a guaranteed pension through the rest of your life for a certain amount. It's, you know, it's not going to put you in the Taj Mahal, but it's going to keep you off the streets. With a defined contribution pension, what you get back is only what you're able to put in, and the biggest risk that people take with defined contribution pensions is outliving their pension. With a defined benefit pension, you don't outlive your pension because it keeps paying out until you die. But with a defined contribution pension, your 401k, once that money's gone, it's gone. And one of the things that we found was that the older seniors get, the more likely they are to have outlived their savings and have to live on less. So poverty is greater among the 85-plus set than it is among those who are still in their late 60s.
In the report, Tom, you write, the older adult population in the state will increase over the coming decades, nearly doubling as a proportion of the whole population by 2030, which is not that far off. In the same time, newer generations of workers will retire without the same level of access to the defined benefit pensions, as you just said, of earlier generations, and federal budget issues threaten to exert downward pressure on social insurance benefits for elders such as Social Security and Medicare. Considering changes in the economy and the population and possible changes in the policy environment, the number of Michigan seniors experiencing invisible poverty is likely to go substantially over the next 20 years. I hear it. It's written. It's there. People are reading this. What's the plan? And I know you don't have the answer to that, but we really do need, this is a question that deserves an answer, that needs an answer.
It is. Well, you know, my job is to bring the facts to the table and try to inform the people who are making the decisions. And so I try not to get too deeply into the policy because I don't want to bring my own biases. But one thing that I can say is that our research shows that you really can't cut Social Security anymore. This is the last safety net that is keeping people out of poverty in old age, and it's maintaining so many people right on the edge. And so to cut benefits even slightly is going to throw a lot of people over the edge. And so I think we need to hold the line on Social Security benefits, because they're really, I mean, if you look at the numbers, the average Social Security benefit for a retired worker in Michigan is about $14,000 a year. That is not high living.
No, that would not be high living, that's
no.
for sure.
So the great thing about Social Security is that you can't outlive your benefits. They keep coming to you as long as you're alive.
Well, and unfortunately, as we see the debate that's going on, the policy debate that's going on, and collective bargaining is getting away from the defined benefit pension and trying to work toward and push more people into the 401k. And now we see why, one more reason why that is a problematic way to move forward. Tom, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hope I get to see you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Tony. It was a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you. Tom Jankowski again, Associate Professor of Gerontology at Wayne State University. We're open lines the remainder of the hour, so feel free to pick up the phone and give us a call. You got something on your mind, we can talk about this issue or whatever you'd like to talk about. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. A quick break here on 1310 WDTW, and we'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got an accident out there, 94 westbound at Chalmers. It's on the right shoulder, so keep an eye out for that. Also, some slower travel, 75 southbound between 12 Mile and 696. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, fantastic. A high near 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. And then Friday, once again, mostly sunny, a high in the lower 80s. Currently, it's fair and 59 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Triviano coming up just after this.
Brought to you by your neighborhood Ace Hardware. It's time to get your weekend back. Stop by your neighborhood Ace Hardware today and get everything you need to turn your to-do list into a to-done list. Ace. The helpful place.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO is acting this month with 450 events around the country demanding that politicians act urgently to help create jobs. With dark economic clouds gathering once again, a tumultuous stock market horror ride, and many millions of Americans still out of work, the AFL-CIO is calling on President Obama to come up with a jobs program adequate in scale to deal with the jobs crisis. Labor all along has insisted that not nearly enough is being done by government to stimulate jobs creation. The AFL-CIO's board recently met with Obama on jobs. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says the debt deal will cost 1.8 million jobs, and he says it's time that Obama launched a jobs initiative big enough to really matter rather than settling for what Republicans will accept. Public employees are the subjects of a new public service announcement campaign to build public support, Jesse Russell reports.
The National Treasury Employees Union has launched a new campaign that seeks to improve the image of public sector workers. The union, which represents more than 150,000 employees in 30 government agencies, is seeking to counter the rise of harmful attacks on federal and other public sector employees. In addition to radio and television PSAs, the union has launched a website that notes the many ways employees in the public sector work for everyday citizens. For example, the website, theyworkforus.org, asks people to think about who provides the safety when they drink water, eat a meal, visit a doctor, travel abroad, and deposit paychecks. The following is a PSA the union produced called Who Can We Turn To?, which seeks to show federal employees through the eyes of Americans.
Who can we turn to?
To watch over our food supply.
To safeguard our bank deposits.
To protect our water and the air we breathe.
Who can we turn to?
To monitor drugs for safety.
To defend our borders. Federal employees provide vital services to defend our national security, support our economy, and improve our health. Federal employees, they work for us.
Go to theyworkforus.org.
The Secretary Treasurer of the San Diego Imperial County's AFL-CIO says that she won't be intimidated by thugs who threw a heavy rock through her living room picture window. The attack came right after a right-wing blogger, who is also the secretary of the San Diego Republican Party, posted a verbal attack on Lorena Gonzalez. Gonzalez says that the blogger had warned her for months that she was being watched. Gonzalez says the attempt to intimidate her instead inspires her to do even more for workers. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Again, I want to thank my old friend Tom Jankowski, a great guy, a wonderful advisor to my campaign. Just an amazingly intelligent human being and fortunate to know him. Again, if you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. We're going to play a little audio, and then we're going to get to the phone.
Regular people out there just living their lives, they get it. They understand. They can feel it. Just the situation Michigan's in, they know we have to make changes. These changes will be hard to deal with. But it doesn't absolve us of the responsibility of dealing with it. It doesn't absolve us of the responsibility of being realistic and how we deal with it. And so I think it is a contrast that people are starting to notice, and Michigan being viewed as a role model for the rest of the nation in terms of getting our fiscal house in order. Mm-hmm. And that's something that the average person out there can really appreciate. But it's really the focus of the attention, the effort needs to be put on making the environment here more conducive to job growth. And that's outside of the budget process, which did take a lot of time and effort, really where we've spent the most amount of brain power and time has been how do we get the economy here in the state going again, changing the focus from what it was in the past, which is how do we convince somebody from somewhere else out there in the world to come in and save us, and instead say how do we make the environment more conducive to job growth for the employers that are already here in our state.
That's Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly. We're going to come back to that, I assure you. Average Michiganders. Average people. Average Michiganders, yeah. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Zach in Dearborn to First Shift. Zach, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Okay, so, I mean, I'm originally from Chicago, and one of the big problems I see with the whole public worker situation is the pensions. I mean, because, for example, some of my friends who are working in the public sector, they only have to work 15, 20 years, and they get 85% of their pay for life. I mean, that's unsustainable. I mean, if you have millions of workers like that all across the country, I mean, you're going to have to raise taxes. That's what happens in Chicago. Chicago, the high taxes are very high, and primarily because of that. I mean, And then what happens is when the taxes are that high, the companies move out and you can't even create jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, that's something that can be negotiated. You go to the 401k style of retirement, and then, you know, as our guest just said, Zach, you know, when that money's used up, it's used up. There's no more going back in. You can't put money back into it. You know, when it's gone, it's gone. And so, I
agree with you. I agree with you that it's got to be negotiated, but a lot of the people, they don't even want negotiations. They're just saying, okay, for future employees, we won't do this, but for the existing ones, this is what it is.
And Zach, I believe you have to honor existing agreements. I mean, you know, that's what, you know, people base their retirement on their reality. And if their reality was you were promised this would be your pension, you have to honor that promise. Moving forward, absolutely. Absolutely. We have to take a look at the reality. You know, this is where I got concerned when the Detroit Police Department recently announced that their union agreed to an entirely different pension formula. I don't think these folks, especially the younger people, really have any idea what they've given up, and they've given up a lot. It's going to save the city of Detroit millions of dollars, but it's also going to end up costing these employees a lot of money. Now, you and I both know a lot of these folks, especially in the police and fire department, probably aren't going to retire from the city of Detroit. They're not going to be there long enough to retire. And maybe in the long run, that'll, of course, offset that for them personally. But, Zach, we do need to be careful that, you know, when people get to the end of their work, when they go to retire for whatever age it is that they do that. I don't know what you do, Zach. I think I'm just going to probably work to the day I die. I'm a workaholic. I'll be the first to admit it. I enjoy working. You know, and you know, we also need to understand, you know, people that are self-employed are totally responsible for their retirement. And I know people think everybody that owns their own business is wealthy. Zach, it's not true.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what's proved. That's what's preventing job growth around here. Because a lot of companies, they see like states like Virginia and Tennessee, and they don't have these deals, and they're just moving, packing up and moving over there, and they're just leaving places like Chicago, Detroit, and, like, pretty much to fend for themselves. And, you know, that, I think that's the big problem.
Well, it is a problem, but it's a solvable problem. And Zach, I appreciate your phone call. It is a solvable problem. I agree that, listen, folks, if you're working 15 years and you're getting 85% of your pay and you are making good money, that is problematic, depending on what the company is. If the company's highly profitable, I guess it's not that big a problem. If they're not, and as we see profit margins get slimmer, it becomes a little more problematic. No question that is true. All right, back to the Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly and his comments. He was speaking with a reporter from the Morning Sun newspaper in Mount Pleasant, and his characterization that everything is going to be fine, and that, you know, we don't need to worry about everything, and the average Michigander gets what we're doing, and they're happy, and we're going to hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and live happily ever after, is a bit naive. Don't you think? It just seems to me that, you know, he's not getting it, but he does get it, of course. They all get it. They know what they're doing, because their actions do speak louder than their words. So the lieutenant governor is just doing what his boss is doing, which is saying one thing and doing something quite different. And that is indeed what's happening. But, you know, Jeff, let me ask you just real quick. The average Michigander gets this and is happy with the way things are going. We've been doing this show since the beginning of May. Are you getting the impression that the average Michigander, who I believe is our audience, is happy and gets what's going?
This is a great place, yeah. They're very happy with what's going on. And I mean, obviously the EFM thing, no. The way finances are going, no. They're attacking teachers, you're attacking seniors. We just had someone on talking about being attacked as a senior, you know, seniors being attacked. And to say, well, you know, we need to get our fiscal house in order, and not exactly, you know, saying how you got that by attacking seniors and teachers and kids and whatnot, you know, is ridiculous. It's part of the whole thought that you can get away with doing this stuff. And you know what? The average Michigander is pretty happy about it. Well, the average Michigander that he hangs out with, apparently, are the ones that go to retreats at Mackinac Island or that make a lot of money.
Well, I just want you to know that the after party, the reason I'm having shrimp, because if they can have shrimp, so can we. How you like that?
I love that.
I know you do. Chicken. It still makes me chuckle when I hear it. Absolutely. I'm sorry. That was obviously an attempt to lighten things up again. I want to get to the phone here in just a second. But, you know, the average Michigander is not happy. And the lieutenant governor can spin this any way he wants. Listen, those of you that are driving to work right now, getting ready for work, rolling over and hitting the snooze, no, you're not happy people. I talked to a lot of you. You're not happy.
And these people are out of touch, too. I mean, you saw the comments by, I think, was it Senator Darling? Is that who just won the election, re-election, or the recall?
In Wisconsin,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and they asked her about people who make $250,000 a year. And she said, "Those aren't that's the middle class. That's not the rich."
Yeah. Okay. Well.
So they don't understand what average people are or who they are.
No, they don't. They don't know how to define what average is. They have no clue. That's the part that's offensive. Let's go to the phones. Welcome, Amir, back to the show. Amir in Detroit joins us here on First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning, Amir. What's on your mind?
Oh, Tony, that the guy that just called you so wrong, what's wrong with Michigan, what's wrong with the United States, Bill Rannigan, he did, somebody on TV finally called it out. It is our trade laws and our politicians being bought off by big corporations. That's what's wrong. A guy that works 15, 20 years in sewers, walking as a postal worker, and most of them don't retire in 15, 20 years. Most of them retire in 30 years when they get in their 60s. So let's be honest. That right there is not true. What is wrong with America, what's wrong with Michigan, is we do not invest in Michigan. We do not invest in our people. We are not investing in things that will help our people grow. All we're doing is cutting taxes and putting some more taxes on the people that's working. So to your caller, he's dead wrong. I'm sorry. The pensions have nothing to do with it. What it has to do with, because that's a part of your wage. That's what they agreed to, and that's what they bargained for.
And that's what, and Amir, slow down now, buddy. Slow down. Yeah. Now, listen.
I'm slow now.
No, it's okay. I know you get passionate. That's all right. Now, listen. As I said, if you're promised, you're promised, and you have to honor that promise. I have no problem with that at all. If you can't sustain in the future moving forward, then you negotiate in good faith, and everybody agrees, everybody moves on. We agree on that, right?
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Now, I would agree with you that I don't believe that defined pensions is what's wrong with the state of Michigan or the state of Illinois. That's not what's dragging our economy down. It's not defined pensions that's caused that problem. You are right. We need to eliminate trade agreements. We need to do what has been talked about extensively over the last couple of days, both on radio and in television and in print. We need to put a public works program in place that will immediately fix the infrastructure of this country and put people to work. That's what we need to do.
And they need to get this guy out of my school system and quit stealing my money and destroying my schools and quit privatizing all the services that I pay for. I don't care about the private sector in my public sector, going for my tax dollars. I pay people in the city of Detroit to be my fire, my police. Those people are not retiring in 15, 20 years. They're retiring in 25, 30 years because most people are going to work.
Well, I agree. Amir, we got to get to the break. I appreciate your have a great day. Appreciate your call as always. 888-552-3595. We are open lines. Feel free to give us a call. I'm Tony Truppiano. Thank you for punching in this morning. Would love to hear from you. We'll take the break. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the sexy liberal tour and the after party. Some fun stuff that I want you to get involved with. So make sure you stay tuned. This is 1310 WDTW. We will be right back.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Malia and Sasha finish their homework a day ahead of time. Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They don't wait until the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. If you know you've got to do something, just do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy teeth.
I want to get back to Michigan and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comment somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310
WDTW.
10 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back. We're going to go right to the phones again. 888-552-3595. I had the good fortune of meeting my next caller Saturday in Wyandotte. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Steve, it was awfully nice of you to come by and say hello. It was truly a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, Tony. The same here. It was nice to meet you. My comment today is basically I just got into the conversation with the mayor, and you've got a city that's, what, about 138 square miles, of which 50 square miles is vacant. You're trying to support a public system, you know, that was designed for a population well over a million people, for a population now just under 700,000, something like that. It's just not that they have to do something, but if a mayor wants to, you know, institute change to keep his public system in place, then he ought to go and try to gin up, a millage request to cover all this and see what the citizens of Detroit say if they want their taxes raised to support this infrastructure.
Well, you know, that,
that's my comment.
And I appreciate the comment, Steve. Thank you so much. I don't have the answers. I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm the first one to admit that. The city of Detroit, and I think Mayor Dave Bing is only beginning to tease what really needs to be done. He's talking about shrinking the size of the city, making the population center smaller, more manageable, moving people into these areas, making it a little more user friendly. We also need to see a lot more demolition. That needs to happen as well. Drive around the city of Detroit, folks. Drive around. You're going to see in a lot of the residential areas some things that are horrible. But you're also going to see pockets of the city that are thriving. You know, Amir, and I'm not speaking for him. I'm speaking about what I think his vision is. Amir loves the city of Detroit. Amir believes in the investment that he's made, his continuing commitment to live here. And he is going to be damned if he's going to let somebody get in the way of what that vision means for him. I applaud that. Everybody should feel as passionately about their community as Amir does about his. And I'm proud that Amir has such a passion for the history. He understands where he came from, he understands where he is, and he knows where he'd like it to go. What he's saying is because he's made this investment, and again, Amir, if I'm wrong, you're going to correct me, because he's made this investment, he's made this decision to stay here, he pays his taxes, he wants to make sure that his taxes are spent as defined. That's a big part of what matters to Amir. And he's right with regard to the public school system. You know, the governor has stolen money from the public school system in the city of Detroit and around the state. That should have never happened. That needs to stop. We'll remember, again, Proposal A, guaranteed monies that have been taken and used elsewhere. You know, again, there are those that say that this is unconstitutional. I would be one of them. With a Public Act 4, the Emergency Manager Bill, you know, the city of Detroit still may end up in receivership, if you will. If that happens, does Dave Bing become the emergency manager, or does somebody else become the emergency manager? And what does that mean for the city? And everybody's fear, that those that are really plugged into the city of Detroit, their fear is that they will end up with an emergency manager who will then privatize and dismantle public unions and so on and so forth. It's a legitimate concern. And that's why there is a serious effort to try to undo Public Act 4, which reminds me, tonight from 5 to 7 o'clock, I'm going to give you the address. You're going to have to MapQuest it because it's a private residence. But they've asked me to announce it. There is a community meeting at a home on 2243 Ferry Park Street, F-E-R-R-Y, 2243 Ferry Park Street, one block south of Grand Boulevard. From 5 to 7 p.m., there's going to be food and music and people. And you can sign the petition. You can take a petition to repeal Public Act 4, which is the emergency manager law. And then, you know, get involved. Get involved. You know, Jeff, we had Marvin Bing on the show last week. He talked about that rally that they had last Saturday. I've corresponded with him a couple times, but I'm seeing him on Facebook. This guy's the real deal. This guy's the real deal. I mean, he's an activist. He's a great guy.
It was a good interview.
Yeah, he's just a really, I mean, I've had a chance to, again, have a few pieces of correspondence back and forth. Very passionate, cares a lot about what's happening here. He's not from here, Jeff. He's from Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, and he is he's putting down roots. He's going to stay here. He wants to see the city thrive.
Well, there's two kinds of people. I mean, this is always an argument on the sports side of things, if you're a true Michigan fan or not, but if you go there or not, you can be born here and be a Detroiter and love the city. You can be born somewhere else, come here, learn about the tradition, learn about the city, love the city, live here, and stay here and be a Detroiter. I think both people are true Detroiters, true Michiganders.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree with that. Very quickly, and then we're going to talk about the Sexy Liberal Tour. Western Wayne County, they have signing stations at Ann Arbor Trail in Merriman in Westland from noon to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And that's Monday through Saturday at Ann Arbor Trail in Merriman. And then at Dearborn City Hall from 11:30 till 3:30 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 11:30 to 3:30 at Dearborn City Hall. So those are two locations that you can go to. Those are permanent signing stations. So go and check that out, folks. Okay. The Sexy Liberal Tour is coming to Detroit on August 20th. That's Stephanie Miller, who's on immediately after me every morning. If you've not yet gotten your tickets, you need to go either to the box office, which is what I recommend you do at the Detroit Opera House. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. The commercials are playing nonstop. So get your tickets. It's going to be a big night. Now, Jeff and I happen to have a little insider information. There is somebody very famous that's going to be there that night. Very famous. Now, they're going to see the show. They're
at,
not
least
going,
at least one. At least one. Probably more than that, but the one we know of, yes.
And this person's big. 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 So, you know, if you want to be a part of that, you got to go get your tickets. That's number one. Number two, we are hosting, Jeff, Todd, and I are hosting an after party. And we'd like you to go. We are the proceeds from the after party will go to benefit the Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts. And you can get those tickets by sending a check. They're $20 a piece. And Stephanie and her whole cast will be there, including Aisha Taylor, the only reason Todd's going is to meet her. Todd, don't deny it because you know it's true. You wouldn't be going any other way. You wouldn't be going to meet Stephanie Miller. You wouldn't be going just to hang out with Jeff and I, and you know it.
She's a hottie. I can't deny that.
She is a hottie. You know she's married, right?
What can I do?
Do you care?
Not really.
I didn't think you did. Absolutely. And I don't care either. And my wife will be there, so she's a beautiful woman. Anyway, the after party is that evening right after the event. We're going to have a cash bar, some awesome food, and a chance. I mean, literally, you're going to be standing 3 feet from Todd. Who wouldn't want that opportunity? Jeff, Would you? I mean, you get to do it every day. Don't you want to share that with people?
It is quite the experience.
Yes, it is, especially when he doesn't shower. But he will be showered that night. I promise you will. A quick break for the top of the hour. Russ with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. Dave Holtz on the other side of this. And he may not be with us. He wasn't feeling well yesterday, so we'll see. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break and be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Things are looking a little bit slow in 75 right now, southbound between 12 Mile and 9 Mile. Also, on the northbound side between 696 and 11 Mile, you'll find some delays 696 westbound between Coolidge and Southfield Road. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high again right around 80. Currently, it's fair and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, fear is the word you keep hearing a lot to describe the mood on Wall Street. The Dow lost over 500 points Wednesday, and stock futures turned lower after being up most of the morning. CNN's Felicia Taylor says investors don't know what the next day will bring.
People are concerned. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. So that's why you see the tick up in gold. But what's interesting this morning is gold is flattened out. People are sitting literally on the sidelines waiting to hear what's going to happen.
Most Americans aren't prepared for a rainy day. A survey by the National Foundation for Credit Counseling found 64% don't have enough cash to handle a $1,000 emergency. British Prime Minister David Cameron is talking tough to the people responsible for the riots in England.
We will track you down, we will find you, we will charge you, we will punish you. You will pay for what you have done.
Cameron told an emergency session of Parliament. Police know they waited too long to take action. The streets of London were relatively calm overnight, and 16,000 police officers will man the streets through the weekend. U2 lead singer Bono says people are forgetting about the famine crisis in Somalia because of all the other problems in the world.
People watch the values, stock values crumble while, I think about our own sense of values tumbling.
The UN declared famine in five areas of southern Somalia, including the capital of Mogadishu. The transitional government in Somalia is offering insurgent fighters amnesty if they surrender. The Sarah Palin bus tour is headed to Iowa, which just happens to be the state that will hold the first contest in the 2012 presidential race. Palin still hasn't said if she's running. The announced Republican candidates will debate in Iowa tonight. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, what are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
We use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you've been following Wall Street over the past week, you probably have a moderate case of whiplash. Get ready for more. Following the Dow's third plunge of more than 500 points in just five trading days, early stock futures initially suggested another snapback. But now we're lower. Stock rallies in Europe lose steam. Right now, S&P futures down 17. Same with NASDAQ futures. Dow futures off 132. Oil futures also beginning to fall apart. In early electronic trades, crude is down $1.40 to $81.50 a barrel. Gold futures turning higher again, up almost $5 to $1,786 an ounce. Earlier this morning, gold was above $1,800 for the first time ever. A month from now, Kohl's will launch its two new clothing brands, Jennifer Lopez for women and Marc Anthony for men. They're separate lines, important to note because the couple is now getting a divorce. But high sales expectations are a big part of why Kohl's is hiking its full-year earnings forecast. S&P futures down 16. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, what are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts of oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
We use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Look around you. Companies sacrifice human health and even life for profit. This is the world in which we live. And these are the lives of our fellow human beings. But we don't have to accept it.
At a time when truth is needed, when courage and strength is rare, when a voice is needed to cut through the lies.
Disagreeing is not enough any longer. In order to mandate change, we must not just show up. Now we must stand up.
It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano to Hour 3 of the First Shift program. I want to thank you all for punching in this morning. It's been an interesting morning. We've gone from politics and religion to elder care and elder abuse and poverty, and certainly a lot of issues in between. You're always welcome, by the way, to join us on First Shift. If I have a guest, be topical. If I don't, we're open lines, and that means whatever is on your mind is fine with us. I'm sure that we'll have plenty to talk about in this hour. We're going to get to my next guest in just a moment. And we'll have time for open lines at the bottom of the hour. The number, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And if you are just joining us, we've got information on the Sexy Liberal Tour with Stephanie Miller, the after party, and we'll be getting you that information in this hour as well. So let's turn our attention to my next guest. Go ahead, guys.
As we do every week at this time, we welcome the Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
All righty. A little delayed, but we got it there. Let's welcome back Dave Holtz. Dave, a pleasure to have you with us this morning. Just a pleasure every week to have you with us.
Tony. It's good to be here.
Dave and I exchange emails on Wednesdays. What do we want to do in the morning? And I was happy when I saw the topic that you wanted to get to. I happened to blog about this yesterday. I happened to listen to a lot of talk radio yesterday, Dave, about the Wisconsin recall elections. The opinions are all over the place. I don't know what yours is. I'm about to find out. How do you feel about what happened in Wisconsin on Tuesday night?
Well, Wisconsin Tuesday was sort of two stories that came out. But the bottom line for me is that we won in Wisconsin. Progressives did, because what we saw there for the first time, really since the Vietnam War, the protests of the Vietnam War, was a long dormant part of society, just regular folks, working folks, with no labels at all, rising up to say enough is enough. And while the election outcome dumped two Republicans who voted with Governor Walker and closed the margin in the Senate to just a one vote margin now for the Republicans, the real story is that working people are taking the country back, and we're taking it back away from the politicians who are trying to give it to the corporations and the wealthy. But there's a second part of the story of Wisconsin, I think, that's getting some attention, but not enough, which is this is really the first major national electoral spotlight since the Supreme Court ruled in Citizens United and let this floodgate of corporate money pour into our and pollute our political system. And my strong belief is that if it had not been for the millions and millions of dollars of corporate money that flowed into Wisconsin, the folks who were running those recall elections for the Democratic Party would have won at least one more seat and possibly more.
Well, you know, it's interesting, David Holtz, as we take a look at that, the Citizens United decision made itself, reared its ugly head on Tuesday. Well, actually, before Tuesday, leading up to Tuesday, in one race alone, which was the one that they thought they might get that they didn't get, $8 million spent on that one race in a very short period of time. And we know that money didn't come from $10 donations, David.
No, this is really an unprecedented attempt by the rich and powerful in this country to close the deal on government and to essentially buy it. And the counter to that is that the narrative that was set in Wisconsin is a continuing narrative here in Michigan as well. But we're really writing a brand new story in the Midwest. And it's a story of the working class and middle class, people who believe in democracy is more important than ideology, and that people are more important than profit are rising up. I mean, we saw 10,000 people at the Capitol here in Lansing, and that wasn't the end of the story in Michigan. We've got organizing going on all over the state, and I think we're going to see a groundswell of populist sentiment that's going to be the counterforce to the Citizens United and pouring of corporate money into the system. And we don't know what the outcome will be, but it will be a classic battle of titans, people power versus corporate power.
Well, you know, and we look, David, as we look at what's happening in the progressive movement here in the state of Michigan, and we do know that those numbers are growing. I can just tell that by the radio show, but we know that through other factors. And although one of my concerns as we went into the summer months, and you and I may have even had this discussion, there was so much momentum. We had saw, I happened to host that rally in Lansing with the teacher sponsored, where the 10,000 people showed up. What an amazing experience that was. And I'm thinking, okay, now we're going to go into the summer months. Will this passion now dissipate? Will it go away? And the good news is it hasn't. In fact, I see it growing. And tonight, I'm going to speak at a Democratic club again tonight. I've spoken in the last month or 8 weeks. I've spoken at picnics and other club meetings. And the crowds are getting bigger everywhere I go. The people are getting passionate. But what I'm seeing, David, is that they're asking better questions. And you know, as an organizer, you know, if somebody that's been involved with the media for years and been involved at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, when they're asking the right questions, they're paying attention. I think that's good news as well.
It's really good news because we have really one great shot at taking our country back over the next year or two. And the positive side of Wisconsin, the positive side of what happened with the debt hostage taking by the Tea Party Republicans in Washington is people are paying attention, and the people who are paying attention, which is now the vast majority of Americans, are overwhelmingly saying this isn't working, and they're looking at really in themselves to take back control of their democracy. So it's heartening, and you're seeing it a lot of different ways. The First Shift with Tony Trupiano is one of the ways where we now have this voice, not just your voice and my voice, Tony, but all of the folks who are listening in and finding out, getting the information they need. We've got a massive organizing effort going on under We Are the People umbrella where for the first time, at least in my history in Michigan, you're seeing people, whether they're union members or environmentalists or whoever they are, coming together, united behind one cause, which is to take back our democracy.
Well, and of course, that takes us back to the conversation about Wisconsin. You know, I was a little bit surprised when I read my colleague Tom Hartman's comments yesterday. He is very disappointed that the money won, and he sees that money won. You and I are seeing it the same way. And again, I blogged about this yesterday at thetonyshow.org. To me, Wisconsin was a win. It was a win for all of us. It was a win for the progressive movement. You know, we look at historically what happens in recalls. The miracle they got just getting those six people on the ballot, let alone recalling two of them. We've only recalled, I think, 13 people in the state legislature since 1908, and two of them happened in one day. But not everybody's seeing it that way, and again, we need to shepherd these folks together. And so what do we say, Dave Holtz, to those that are seeing this a little differently than you and I?
Well, I think that people, I mean, part of it is there's a whole group of folks out there who want to see us fail, and they have a big megaphone. It's a megaphone that's funded by huge amount of corporate money that's flooding into the system, and they basically are sending the message that we didn't win in Wisconsin, we lost, but the truth is the momentum is not on their side, it's on our side. Look at the polling numbers that came out just yesterday in the Washington Post when people were asked about their views of who is really to blame for the debt crisis in Washington. And granted, the blame was spread across everybody. But when you look at the numbers for the Republicans, it's substantial lower level of approval than the Democrats. And when you look at Wisconsin and how that connects up with that, and then look at what's going on in Michigan, we have the momentum. The question is whether we're going to seize it or not. And I believe we will. I believe that what happened in Wisconsin this week was historic, the largest recall held in American history. We won two seats. The Governor Walker is all of a sudden trying to position himself in the center and reach out to Democrats. The polling in Wisconsin, the analysis shows that as the recall moves ahead against Walker there, the momentum is going against him.
Yeah, absolutely. David, we got to get to the break, and I just want to offer, I know you hadn't been feeling well. We can let you go now if you'd like and pick it up next Thursday, or you can stay with us. Up to you.
Yeah, I'm happy to stay.
Oh, good. I'm happy to keep you. David Holtz, Progress Michigan. Of course, you're going to find them online, progressmichigan.org, and on Facebook. Like them, 888-552-3595. A quick break here, and we'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW. 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We've got some slowdowns out there on the freeway. 696 westbound between Coolidge and Southfield Road, 75 southbound between 14 mile down to 8 mile northbound side on 75, a little bit slow between 696 and 11 mile. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
A fantastic forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Tomorrow, it stays just as boring. Mostly sunny, a high near 81 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 59 at Detroit City Airport.
Now at the Home Depot, save $50 to $750 on top brand appliances. The bigger the ticket, the higher the savings. Add that to free delivery and haul away, and you've got the perfect opportunity to retire that tired old fridge. Replace that energy-wasting washer or kick out that uninspired oven with appliances that look great in your home and on your budget. All thanks to savings of up to $750. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 24th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Democrats are talking about job creation. Republicans are talking about how to protect the wealthiest Americans. How are we going to begin to bridge that gap?
That's what Democrats are for. President Obama from day one has been focused on getting our economy turned around. We've gone from bleeding 750,000 plus jobs a month to now, every month for the last 15 months, we've had job growth in the private sector.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 13. 13- 10 WDTW.
3, 1. Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. Dave Holtz again, my guest, the executive director of Progress Michigan. And, you know, David, as we take a look, you know, one, if we take this this discussion on Wisconsin and take a step, a very small step back, take a look at the entirety of the state, and then start to really, you know, dissect what happened. If the recall of the governor were to happen today, he would lose by one percentage point. Now, I know that that's within the margin of error and all that stuff. But, David, I think that that also speaks to a level of seriousness and commitment that progressives in Wisconsin have committed themselves to.
Yeah, I mean, we have, I think, here in Michigan, a level of commitment that is very, very similar. I mean, I mentioned before that, you know, we're seeing a lot of folks come together who really are looking at the big picture and realizing that we're all fighting for the middle class. And what happened in Wisconsin is really about the fight for the working class. And what they did in Wisconsin was elect two more Democratic senators to defend that point of view this week. And that's how I look at it. And I think it should serve to galvanize us, particularly with the Republican Party's approval rating at an all-time low. I think conservatives, when you look at the polling numbers for the Tea Party hitting an all-time low, right now is the time to seize the day. And that's what we've got to do in Michigan. I think we are doing it.
Well, I think we are doing it as well. Jeff was reminding me, and we've got I've got the Morning Joe on here in the studio. One of the things on the call says 35% of people in the country feel that the GOP made things worse for our country, according to a poll by the Washington Post. I know you've seen those numbers. What does that tell us? Let's look at it from the Republican standpoint for just a minute. When 35% of the country is beginning to wake up to the reality of what the GOP agenda is, whether it's in Wisconsin or nationally or here in the state of Michigan, and then, you know, we played some audio a little earlier from the lieutenant governor who says, well, the average Michigander gets what we're doing and they approve of us. You know, their actions, of course, don't match the words. Again, you know, you're kind of in the prediction business in a way, David Holt. So what does that 35% number predict for you?
Well, it predicts for me. I can predict what I believe should happen. Okay.
Okay, that's good. I'll go with that.
Yeah. What should happen is we should look at that 35% approval rating and not look at it as a validation of the Democratic Party and the performance of elected officials in the Democratic Party, but rather as an opportunity for the people to basically rise and get engaged in their government again and in their democracy. And what I predict is that that is happening and will continue to happen. And the other thing I can predict is that, you know, Brian Kelly, the lieutenant governor, will continue to spin that people support their policies. But the science doesn't back up that. I mean, the science of research and polling shows consistently that people oppose their policies. And what I think that they're going to do in Michigan is, I think that the governor in particular, I think the legislature is so captive of the Tea Party that in the House that they're in a terrible bind from their point of view. But the governor in will grab the megaphone, try to really focus on policies and politics that are more moderate over the next year, and hope that people will forget by the time they go to vote in 2012 what he did by shifting the tax burden on the individuals and giving all of the that money to big corporations. But they're not going to forget because there aren't any jobs, and that's what he's going to be evaluated on, and that's what the Republican Party is going to be evaluated
well,
on.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, the Republican Party is putting this on all on President Obama. And then I know that you're paying attention to what's going on. There are a lot of people, especially on the progressive side of the aisle, especially in the progressive side of the media, that are clamoring for President Obama to force Republicans to say no to job creation. And you know how that happens. You build roads, you build bridges, you fix schools, and it's not hard to find stuff that needs fixing right now, Dave Holtz. You and I both know that. And in fact, it was Chris Matthews on Hardball the other night that said, you know what you do? You go and you take a picture of a bridge in that community. And then you go into that community and you say, the Republicans voted no to fix this.
Absolutely. I think I saw that segment on Chris Matthews' show as well. And I totally agree with that. People prioritize jobs over this issue, this manufactured issue that Republicans have about on the debt. And really the solution to the debt is to put people to work so they can pay taxes. And that's what the governor and I think is going to try and do in Michigan, try to send that jobs message through more popular policies. But what the President of the United States needs to do, in my view, is exactly what Chris Matthews suggested, and that's go out there with a big, strong jobs program and force the Republicans to say no.
Well, you know, again, this is the perfect issue. If they say yes, that's good. We create jobs. People go back to work. We begin to increase revenue. You know, I can go on and on and on, David Holtz. If they say no, then they've buried themselves. Now, you know what? I want them to say yes. I don't want this to be one of those things, well, aha, they said no, now we got them. We need to create jobs, Dave Holtz.
Yeah, and a sense of urgency about it. I mean, what really we need is for President Obama to come out, not just with a jobs program and a press conference about it, but to really take some bold action. Just put a sense of urgency into it, direct the Department of Transportation to immediately begin shifting resources into putting people to work, building, repairing of bridges and roads, really take decisive action and leadership, and people will be behind them 100%.
Yep, that's true. So let's see what happens. One more thing I want to talk about, because you know that I'm a big advocate of registering to vote, and then, of course, the extension of that, Dave Holtz, is getting people to vote. How important will GOTV be as we move towards 2012?
Well, it's going to be critical, and it's going to be critical in two ways. One is the sort of the poetry of get out the vote, which is, will people be motivated? Will there be a message and a cause that they feel is being told by the politicians, and do they feel that they're going to be on their side? And that's the critical condition for the second part of GOTV, which are the mechanics of GOTV. And I'm confident that we're going to have the mechanics of GOTV in place, because we know what it takes to get people out to vote in terms of the campaign apparatus. It's the poetry of GOTV that concerns me most.
All right. Well, we gotta go. Dave, feel better. Thank you for being with us today. I know you weren't feeling well, and so I appreciate it more than you know. And my prayers will be with you. Get well.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Dave Holtz again, Progress Michigan. We've posted it to the First Shift site over on Facebook, so go check that out. We'll take a break. We are now open lines for the remainder of the show. Is there something on your mind? Now is the time to ring us up, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll punch back in after we take this break.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Traffic slow out there on 696 westbound, anywhere from around Woodward Avenue to Southfield Road. Just slow in a couple of pockets there. Sort of out southbound between 14 mile down to 8 mile. Find some delays there, too. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, a high near 80 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 61. Then tomorrow, just as awesome, mostly sunny, a high again in the low 80s. Currently, it's fair and 59 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO is acting this month with 450 events around the country demanding that politicians act urgently to help create jobs. With dark economic clouds gathering once again, a tumultuous stock market horror ride, and many millions of Americans still out of work, the AFL-CIO is calling on President Obama to come up with a jobs program adequate in scale to deal with the jobs crisis. Labor all along has insisted that not nearly enough is being done by government to stimulate jobs creation. The AFL-CIO's board recently met with Obama on jobs. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka says the debt deal will cost 1.8 million jobs, and he says it's time that Obama launched a jobs initiative big enough to really matter, rather than settling for what Republicans will accept. Public employees are the subjects of a new public service announcement campaign to build public support, Jesse Russell reports.
The National Treasury Employees Union has launched a new campaign that seeks to improve the image of public sector workers. The union, which represents more than 150,000 employees in 30 government agencies, is seeking to counter the rise of harmful attacks on federal and other public sector employees. In addition to radio and television PSAs, the union has launched a website that notes the many ways employees in the public sector work for everyday citizens. For example, the website, theyworkforus.org, asks people to think about who provides the safety when they drink water, eat a meal, visit a doctor, travel abroad, and deposit paychecks. The following is a PSA the union produced called Who Can We Turn To?, which seeks to show federal employees through the eyes of Americans.
Who can we turn
to watch over our food supply,
to safeguard our bank deposits,
to protect our water and the air we breathe?
Who can we turn
to monitor drugs for safety,
to defend our borders? Federal employees provide vital services to defend our national security, support our economy, and improve our health. Federal employees, they work for us.
Go to theyworkforus.org.
The Secretary Treasurer of the San Diego Imperial County's AFL-CIO says that she won't be intimidated by thugs who threw a heavy rock through her living room picture window. The attack came right after a right-wing blogger, who is also the secretary of the San Diego Republican Party, posted a verbal attack on Lorena Gonzalez. Gonzalez says that the blogger had warned her for months that she was being watched. Gonzalez says the attempt to intimidate her instead inspires her to do even more for workers. This newscast was made possible in part through underwriting support from the hardworking men and women of the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Thursday First Shift programs. We are going to go right to the phone, so feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Brooks and Novi joins us. Brooks, thanks for punching in this morning. What is on your mind, sir?
Good morning, Tony. My concern and issue is the spending. Now, as a nation, we've spent close to $4 trillion here in just the last 2 years, above and beyond the baseline budget. And the problems we see in Europe are a result of the governments failing in Italy, in Greece, in Portugal. France is now a concern. And it looks like there's a lot more problems developing with the euro and that conglomerate. So understanding the reality that governments around the world, around our country, right down to our local cities and municipalities, are unable to function within the means of the revenues they collect through taxation, why would anybody still be trying to defend a system that is obviously hemorrhaging and doesn't work based on a world model, let alone an American model? This,
but,
know, this
but,
level
but Brooks,
of spending and deficit is a new...
Yeah, but we have to, we go back to the root cause of why it's not working. It's worked in the past, so why is it not working now? Don't you think that that's a fair question?
Because problems take time to develop, Tony, and in the past, the money was there, and the decisions were made for these wage and benefit packages, and for the whole concept and idea that we can continuously endlessly grow government.
Yes, but you're making the assumption.
Reality, Tony, and reality always tells the truth. And the truth is, you've got to balance the budget.
I get that, but again, we have to go back to why we're in the position we're in to begin with. And when these deals were cut, when these collective bargaining agreements were made, the monies were there. There's a reason the monies were
right there
because the country was functioning at a better capacity, at a higher level. We were generating revenue because we had better employment. Real estate was fine, yada, yada, yada. So then you've got to just take a step back and say, okay, well, then what happened? Two wars, lots of bad decisions. Government grew at record pace. Brooks,
absolutely.
This is a collection of bad decisions.
Really
bad decisions. Now, does that mean we abandon our past because we went through a dozen years of bad decision making, or do we try to hold on to what we know that works and then correct it from this point moving forward?
You're, You're being intellectually dishonest to claim it's only been a dozen years that these problems have been developing.
But a dozen years ago, we weren't in this situation.
40, 50 years ago, and they've taken until today for the whole circle to run the gamut. Yes, we started out an industrial, booming, growing economy, and that bell curve met its peak a while ago.
Yes, but
now,
we're still good on the way down. I appreciate the call. I got another caller, and I just got to move on. So let me just make the point, and you're more than welcome to call the show anytime. Appreciate the dialogue. We're not paying attention to the green energy sector, although the automotive industry is. The country as a whole is not. There's an area where we could see a great boom, but we're not seeing it because we've not, and I think we're way behind the curve with regard to new technology jobs. That's just my opinion, and we could be growing in that sector by record amounts. Alternative energy could be the next industrial age. We just need to put the proper focus there. We need to put the proper R&D in place, and we need to move forward. This is happening in other parts of the world. We are woefully behind, and that is because of bad policy. And unfortunately, you know, when we take a look at what the root cause of it is, at least the modern day, it was George W. Bush and a Republican Congress that refused to bend. Because that hawk mentality, and look where it has us now. I'm not quite willing to let go of the past. I'm just not willing to do it yet. Brooks, 888-552-3595. Let's go to Will in Milford. Will, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for calling in this morning. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Tony?
I'm well.
I'm a strong progressive. I'm all for the jobs program. You know, getting us a good job bill going, but we need to get our industrial base back going again. You know, maybe that's something that needs to be talked about more, because every time the job program comes up, we talk about bridges and roads, but we lost our industrial base.
You mean our manufacturing? You mean the manufacturing base?
Yeah, our manufacturing base is gone. You know, if it wasn't for the car market and a few other little things, we would have nothing. We don't produce like we used to. And we have tradespeople out there. We have machinists. We have highly trained, qualified maintenance people who are laid off, have no jobs, and they're the ones who build the parts that build the manufacturing. And they're the ones who also paid the high, you know, income taxes because of the money they made, which goes back to your previous caller's, you know, comment about not enough money to run the country. Well, we don't take in enough money. We still spend like we always spend, but everywhere where we actually collected the money to pay those bills,
let me comment on this two ways. You know, I was just talking about alternative energy jobs. You know, if we were building wind turbines at the rate we need to build them in order to create energy, or solar panels, that would have helped the manufacturing sector instantaneously. If we made the investment we should have made two decades ago, if we are to bite the bullet and make it now, for government to make that investment, it would pay off in massive amounts of jobs. It would put, and again, we have shuttered factories here that within a matter of a few months could be back online building solar panels and building, and we would put the steel industry back to work, and we would put the aluminum industry to work. You know, this isn't rocket science. Well, we can figure this out.
And also, when people, I don't think, quite understand that, when we walked away from the motion picture, opportunity we had, those are people who use carpenters. Those are people who build, you know, they build scenes.
Electricians, carpenters, accountants, people within the food service industry, actors. The list goes on and on and on. We screwed ourselves over. This governor screwed this state over by eliminating that film incentive. And if I hear one more person say it was and Will, thank you for your call. If I hear one more person say that it was a losing proposition, sweet God, we were 3 years into a program, 3 years into it. Seriously, think about that. It takes a minimum of 5 years, and we were already seeing a return on that investment. We were. Those are real numbers. Those are not, it's not my opinion. It's fact. But we turned our back on that. We, you know, and again, I don't, I, you know, part of me, you know, Jeff and I talk every day, and it's, you know, what do we want to do the show? We want to, you know, we're always looking, quality matters to me. I mean, it matters to me in a big way. And we take a look at the topics that we want to do, and we weigh them and measure them. You know, and there's that part of me that doesn't want to go back to old stories. I hate beating a dead dog. Absolutely despise doing it. But sometimes you just have to remind people, you know, the union movement in this state through the film incentive program was growing again. You couple that with the increase in manufacturing jobs in the automotive segment. Now we're seeing positive growth. You throw in a real vision where you start looking at manufacturing solar panels and advanced batteries for cars and, you know, wind turbines. Now you see it growing even more. We had Ron Zwankowski on this show from the Detroit Free Press, who wrote a wonderful editorial some months back about how we will see more manufacturing opportunities because the bottom line is, it's getting more expensive to build in China and Japan. So those opportunities are going to come back home to us. Now, do we meet that? Will the union movement allow that? You bet they will. You bet they will. You know, we still have amazing opportunity. We need to stop always equating everything to the immediate payoff. I realize we have massive debt in this country. Well, you said something that are going to probably make some people nervous. You said, you know, well, yeah, it is the spending. You know, I've never denied that we have a spending problem. My problem is what we're spending on. We're not spending enough money on the right things. And so the stimulus, the TARP funds, it wasn't enough. And I know, again, those conservatives amongst us think that I'm absolutely insane. But it wasn't enough money. It should have been twice that, if not more. We need a new deal, and we need it now. We need it right now. And allow unions to do their thing, because they know how to do it right. They know how to protect management. They are thinking more clearly and more intelligently than they ever have. I'm telling you right now. You mark my words, one of the wonderful things about today's technology is these words will now be available for eternity. When we write about this period in history, when we write about this period in time, it will be the union movement that helped redefine the middle class in this country and revived the middle class in this country. And folks, the middle class is not dead. A little dormant, but not dead. And we're shrinking, and we're shrinking because the wealth is being pushed to the top. And unfortunately, the people doing the pushing are the middle class because they don't have a choice. And it's wrong. All right, one more segment before we get out of here today. If you want to join me, pick up the phone now and call 888-552-3595. Information on the after party of the Sexy Liberal Tour when we continue. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
They want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. And I think that this race is wide open.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Start your engines, Detroit. because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full-torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken, while rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
And welcome back. Already got our first RSVP for the after party for the Sexy Liberal Tour. We're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. I'm very excited and looking forward to the night of August 20th, meeting Stephanie Miller and John and Aisha and all the wonderful people that work on the Stephanie Miller Show. I know it's going to be a great night and really looking forward to it. But we are going to go to the phones. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. And I want to welcome Bill in Westland to the show. Bill, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, Bill?
Hey, Tony. A lot. You know, I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but, you know, to tackle these huge issues and these huge economic disparities, we have to look at where this all began back in an incubator at the University of Chicago and brought over to South America, and people thought they were crazy and they couldn't get these policies enacted without being threatened. And I think that's what we're seeing today, and it plays itself out on every news cycle.
Be more specific, Bill.
I guess what I'm saying is the Milton Friedman economic theory.
Oh, okay.
How it's, you know, how it goes back to, you know, that era, and to tackle the bigger, the, you know, the smaller issues. I think more people need to realize what's happened over the past 30 years.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Bill, as we take a look at wealth, can we agree that there's always been wealth in this country?
No question.
All right. And so even when we look at when we go back and we look at a tax base, you know, pre-Ronald Reagan or even during the Clinton years, you know, we saw that there was much more fairness in the tax system than there certainly is now, right? So we know that at one point, you know, corporations really drove society. They were the ones that paid for society. But there was still, Bill, wealth in this country. My point is, there's always going to be enough money for those that want to be wealthy and they're willing to work for it. They're always going to be able to make money. So what's at question here is, how much is enough, Bill? And that's where the system gets really sick. And I don't mean it's broken. I mean mentally ill. Because it just seems for some folks, there isn't any such thing as too much money. And that's where we run into problems.
And, you know, I hear you.
So, you know, I'm not even looking for even distribution of wealth. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, You know, there, you know, the chicken in every pot, absolutely. There should be a chicken in every pot. But beyond that, we need opportunity. You know, there's a reason why some people thrive and some people fail. I'm not here to debate that. I'm not here to debate that. There are lazy people in this world, Bill. There are people that are looking for a handout. I get that. I don't deny that. But that's not the majority of us, Bill. The majority of us get up every morning and say, I just want a fighting chance to make a living, but I want it to be a fair fight. That's all I'm saying.
Well, keep doing what you're doing.
All right, Bill, thank you.
We need you.
I appreciate it. I mean, this is not complicated. I just want a fair fight. That's all I'm asking for. Folks, I got to tell you one more time. I'm 50 years old. I have succeeded beyond my wildest dreams and failed in ways that have devastated me. I know what it's like to stand at the top of the mountain and see the riches. I also know what it's like not to know where your next meal is coming from. I've walked that path. And so I know what it takes, and I know what it tastes like, and I know what it feels like when you can't taste it anymore. And it's not because you lost your taste buds. It's because you can't even afford to walk in the door. I get that. What I refuse to do is give in to this bourgeois mentality. I refuse to give in to that. Because a good life, I'm not looking for, listen, I don't want to live like a millionaire. I don't need somebody peeling my grapes for me. I just want a good life, and I want that for other people. And if that makes me a screaming, crazy liberal, I'm going to raise my hand and say, yep, that's me. That's me. Fair enough? That's all I'm saying. All right, one more call before we get things wrapped up here today. Let us go to Steve in Monroe, and this is a different Steve than our normal Steve. And, Steve, welcome to First Shift. Appreciate you taking the time to call this morning.
How's it going, Tony? Good. I had a comment about your previous statement having to do with wealth, and there's enough wealth in the country to go around.
Well, that's not what I said, but go ahead.
What did you say? I don't want to get you misquoted.
No, I said that there's always going to be wealth. If you want wealth, it's always if you want money, there's always going to be money there for you. You're going to have to work for it, but we're always going to have wealth is all I said, Steve.
Right, right. And I think a fundamental mistake people make is when they claim that it's the government's responsibility to redistribute it in any capacity. The wealth is there. All you have to do is go out and work for it. You have to earn it. You can, and there should be no limit on what you can earn. That's what makes this country better than other countries.
Don't disagree.
You can make as much as you want to make, and if you are a person of good character, you're going to give some of that back, but it should not be a role of government to take it from you against your will.
All right. So here's the question. If you are the job creator and you're not creating jobs, if you have wealth, like right now we have a situation, there's $2 trillion liquid dollars not being spent. We're not, because there's, you know, again, we can have the discussion. There's not a demand for product. Why do you create jobs if there's no demand? I get all that. Forget all that for a minute. The people that have the money are sitting on the money. Now what do we do, Steve?
Well, they have that right to sit on the money. They've earned it. They can do whatever they want with it. If they want to spend it, they can spend it. If they want to save it, they can save it.
Perhaps fundamentally, Steve, this is where you and I are just going to disagree. Because you're right. I can't force wealthy people, Steve, to spend their money. Obviously, I can't do it or I'd be doing it, you know? And if government could be doing it, they'd be doing it. So what we have to do at that point is say, instead of forcing them to spend the money, we create a jobs program that forces money into the market, which pushes the money out of the banks into society, distributes it to people who will go out and get a good union job and make a good living, and they provide for their family, and they send their kids to school, and we all live happily ever after.
What I don't get about people who say, oh, you know, what makes this country great is the rich people have the right to make the money they make, and we shouldn't have the government take it from them. Yet when you need money, where does the government go? They're taxing pensions. They're attacking teachers. They're attacking older people. They're attacking the middle class. It's okay to do that, though, but don't, heaven forbid, attacking the people who have the most money.
Yeah. Listen, do me a favor. Don't get rid of the Joe Walsh audio from today because I want to get to that tomorrow. So we'll do that very quickly. I've got, thank you, folks. Those of you that want to do the after party, the Sexy Liberal Tour is coming up August 20th. I'm going to post stuff to the website, to the TonyShow.org site today. If you've not gotten your tickets yet, go to Ticketmaster or go downtown to the box office and get them that way. But you got to do that. You got to have tickets to go to the after party as well. So this is an after party thing after the show. We're out of time for today. I want to thank everybody. Great conversation today. I want to thank Jeff and Todd for all their hard work and you, the audience, for making me who I am. I appreciate that. I'm Tony Trupiano, and as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Expect some delays out there on I-35 southbound between 12 mile down to 8 mile. But aside from that, we are looking just fine out there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today it's going to be mostly sunny, a high near 80 degrees. Tonight partly cloudy, a low in the lower 60s. And then on Friday, once again, mostly sunny, a high around 81 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. See you then. Have a great day, everybody.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets.